Have you ever wanted a super cool AI buddy? Zuck's made one named Eileen. And she's full of surprises. And guess what? She knows you're listening.
I know you're out there.
And needs your help with Jell-O mountains.
The whole city's filling up with Jell-O.
Creaky robots.
Lime green detected.
And her daft inventor.
Zucks, are you functioning correctly?
Tune in to A to Z, a fun new adventure series from Gen Z Media and the creators of The Res. Listen now on the GZM app, gzmshows.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to the show, if you want to listen ad-free, go to gzmshows.com/subscribers. That's gzmshows.com/subscribers.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Messenger, and welcome to the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian. I'm here with my good buddy Bebop, Robomogo Wanatron. What's going on, Bebop?
Hello, Jonathan.
What? No beatboxing today, Bebop?
Not today, Jonathan. I received a few videos from very talented kids beatboxing, and I am studying those very carefully and will debut my progress in a future episode.
Spoiler alert. Okay, so you seem very serious today. What's on your mind, Bebop?
Jonathan, I received a very interesting email from listener Olivia, who's 5 and a half and from Birmingham, Alabama. And it really has me thinking a lot about things.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, what did it say?
Dear Bebop, that's me.
I know, Bebop.
Have you ever been president on another planet? Love, Olivia, 5 and a half years old, from Birmingham, Alabama. P.S. Did you ever try to pour Jonathan Messingham's cereal in the potty?
Oh, that's a really great first question from Olivia.
Yeah, you can see how it has me thinking a lot.
Oh, I'm sure, Bebop. You know, that's one thing that we never really talk about. You must miss your home planet so much, and especially after all you did there, and all of your robot family, and...
Yes, I think about that. But what I'm really wondering is, why didn't I pour your cereal in the potty?
Okay.
I mean, I had all these pranks that I pulled, but I never even thought to do that, and that's hilarious.
Okay, I thought we were going to have a real moment here, Bebop.
Jonathan, there's nothing more real than a missed opportunity and the disappointment of a prank unpranked.
Wow, that is some deep stuff, Bebop. But if you don't mind, we're going to get back to the story now. Today, we're checking back in on Paige, and if you remember what happened the last time we heard from her, she'd escaped from her captors in King Huxley's castle, and she and her new friend, the little furball Nutkin, had just announced to the king and about 50 aliens who were there to recapture her that she'd eaten one of the guards. Of course, we know that wasn't true, but let's see if Paige and Nutkin can finally get off this planet and away from the king in the next episode of The Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian, A Sticky Situation. Paige and Nutkin ran as fast as they could toward the bright torches of the stadium. The chaos Paige had created by pretending to have chowed down on the king's guards was like nothing she'd ever seen before. Pandemonium. The king and his trumpet aliens had disappeared among the chaos of the crowd of 50 little hairy aliens running this way and that, trumpet aliens blaring, trying to get people back into order. But Paige and Nutkin made their way through the bushes, away from the crowd, ducking low to avoid being seen. And the going was slow as they repeatedly ducked and waited for someone to run by.
"Tell me again why we're going to the stadium,"
said Nutkin. "We need to get off this planet," said Paige. "There were these rocket sled things there. If we could pilot one of those up to the space station where I'm from, then my mom could help us."
But, I can't leave my planet,"
said Nutkin, slowing down.
"My family lives here. My mom and dad could be back at any moment. I can't just take off to live on a space station."
Paige stopped and looked at Nutkin. "You don't have to live on the Marlowe. You just have to get away from here right now and then let us figure out what to do."
"I don't know."
"Nutkin, you were a prisoner. You could either come with me to my space station and get help from people with lots of robots and equipment and ships and whatever you need. Or you can let the stinky guards catch you again, trap you back in that stinky castle again. And either way, I don't think you're going to see your family very soon." Nutkin smiled at Paige.
You promise your space station isn't stinky too?
Ugh, the only stinky place on the Marlow is my brother Finn's room. Now, come on. The two made their way to the stadium. It was getting more and more difficult to move, with the king eventually learning that Paige hadn't eaten anyone, and the guards leading search parties all around the grounds. Eventually, they found themselves crouched behind a bush, only a few feet from the stadium outside the walls. Do you know how to get in there? Said Paige. We only ever went in or out through the main gates, but even if we knew how to open them, they'd make way too much noise. The guards would be on us in a second.
There's a door around the side there, but it's right between the castle and the stadium. It's how the king moves back and forth, and it's probably locked.
Worth a try, said Paige. They crouched and ran, low to the ground, and ducked behind a tree where they saw the door was guarded. A giant yeti-looking guard was standing in front of the king's entrance to the stadium.
Okay,
said Nutkin.
It's hair-pulling time.
Paige grabbed hold of her friend. She'd noticed something funny about the guard. It was waving its arms around in a strange motion.
What is it doing?
Said Nutkin.
It looks like it's combing its hair.
Paige instantly knew what was going on. It's the guard who was outside my cell. I gave it that comb. It owes me. Come on, it's payback time.
Are you crazy?
Said Nutkin.
You escaped from your cell while that guard was on watch, and you think it's going to help you? The king is probably ready to take it off guard duty and put it on toilet scrubbing.
He owes me, said Paige, as she marched out from behind the tree straight at the guard. Hey, you, said Paige. Nice hair.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been working really hard. Hey, you're the little prisoner. Get over here. I'm taking you in.
But Paige was already at the door, tugging at the handle. It's locked, she yelled to Nutkin, and the guard grabbed hold of her shoulders. You can't take me back. I did you a favor, said Paige.
Some favor? The king says if I don't bring you in, I'm going to be scrubbing toilets for the next year.
Hey,
said Nutkin.
I think you missed a spot when you were combing.
What?
Said the guard, but Nutkin was already up, pulling loose a handful of the guard's fur.
Ha ha, right here.
Ow! My hair! My beautiful hair!
It is really soft,
said Nutkin. Paige was stunned. The guard was on its knees, picking up the hair Nutkin had pulled out and trying to place it back on its body.
That's not how hair works, dude.
Paige and Nutkin could give up on the idea of being a secret now. If there was anyone in the 5-mile radius, they would have heard the guards roar. But they needed to find a way into the stadium. They ran as fast as they could around the stadium, away from the castle and the guard. They could hear a crowd starting to gather behind them. They broke back into a small patch of woods, heading away from the stadium. They turned down a path and a guard coming the opposite way had spotted them. They ran deeper into the woods and doubled back, finding some open space and they turned right and followed a quiet path and they headed right and they came within seconds of being caught, it seemed like a dozen times. The search parties had encircled them and were converging on them slowly but surely. They managed to find a seam in the defenses and found themselves hiding in a low bush just a few feet from one of the giant walls of the stadium. No door in sight.
I'm sorry,
said Nutkin.
This is all my fault.
Pretty much, said Paige.
Hey, you're not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to say this is all my fault. And then you say, no, Nutkin, it's not your fault. We're in this together.
Well, we are in this together, but you yanking guard hair all the time is all your fault. The two friends were quiet for a moment. Paige wanted to apologize to Nutkin, but she was upset that her friend had acted so impulsively. It was exactly the sort of thing that everyone always said Paige did, which only made her angrier, but she didn't know why.
Hey, a little help here.
Paige turned to Nutkin. What did you just say?
I didn't say anything.
A little help here?
That wasn't me.
Paige looked around, trying to find the voice.
Up here.
She looked up, and stuck there to the wall of the stadium was a gum alien. It smiled weakly at the girls. "What are you doing up there?" said Paige. "Weren't you supposed to have gone home already?"
"Oh, man! The games are over! They all left without me!"
"What? The games are over?" said Paige. "Yeah, they've been over for a couple of days now."
"Oh, no! I tried to parachute down into the stadium, make a grand entrance at the beginning of the games, but I missed. I've been stuck here ever since."
"So where's your parachute?"
"I am the parachute. It took me 3 weeks to stretch out enough."
"And you've just been hanging out there the whole time?" Paige was suddenly struck by an idea of how she could help the gum alien, and the gum alien could help them at the same time. "You need to get out of here, right?" said Paige. "We do too. And the answer for all of us is to get into that stadium." Paige explained her plan to Nutkin, who immediately agreed. The little furball climbed up Paige's back until she was balancing unsteadily on Paige's shoulders. Then she jumped.
Ha-ha!
And she landed on the gum alien, stuck. Nutkin dangled there, facing Paige, looking like a stuffed animal on a carnival prize board.
"Hey, what's going on here?"
said the sticky creature, but Paige reached up and grabbed Nutkin's foot and climbed up until she, too, was glued to the stadium wall by the creature. "Wow, you're made of really strong stuff," said Paige. "I could use you to fix some of my broken toys back on the Marlow."
"Thank you, I think."
"Don't thank me yet," said Paige. She reached down and slowly peeled the lower half of the alien off the wall.
"Oh, thanks so much! I'm finally free! After all these long days, finally free!"
And then Paige threw the alien's bottom higher up the wall.
"Not again!"
She and Nutkin carefully plucked themselves from the alien, making sure to keep one hand glued to the creature, and then slowly climbed up.
"Hey, this is my body, you know," said the alien. "This isn't exactly comfortable for me."
Paige looked down at her gooey spacesuit. "It's not pretty for me either," she said. But she repeated the process again, peeling off a bit of the alien from below, folding it up the wall, and then climbing up. Again and again. It wasn't long before they'd made real progress, scaling halfway up the wall. But they could hear guards closing in on them.
"This is going too slow,"
yelled Nutkin. She reached down and rolled the gum alien up so that it looked almost like a baseball bat. A sticky, gooey, gloopy baseball bat with eyes that peered out at them.
"Excuse me, what do you think you're doing?"
"Here we go,"
said Nutkin, and she swung the gum alien off the wall and then up above them like a whip. Paige nearly fell, but wrapped her arms and legs around Nutkin.
"Hold on,"
said Nutkin. "Not much choice," said Paige, and Nutkin jumped up to the top of the gum alien and did the same thing again, whipping it off the wall and then back higher up, again and again. Soon, they were standing on the top of the stadium wall. They could see the rocket sleds below, still parked in the middle of the stadium.
"How are we going to get from here to there?"
said Nutkin. "We use our parachute," said Paige. They unrolled the gum alien, and each one took one side, running away from each other, stretching the alien out.
"Ah, that feels really good!"
They tugged at the creature until the wind started to catch it, nearly blowing them off the wall. And then they stretched it just a little bit thinner.
Okay, that's far enough,"
said the alien.
"I don't want any holes."
The two friends counted together.
3, 2, 1.
And they jumped, sailing down off the wall, landing on the lush turf of the stadium. Paige and Nutkin were fine, but the gum alien was stretched so thin you could see through it, and what they saw through it was the grand gates of the stadium opening and the king and the guards marching through.
"Stop right there,"
yelled the king.
"Your little game is over now."
Paige and Nutkin ran to the rocket sleds, but the guards were quickly gaining on them.
"Save yourself,"
said Nutkin.
"I belong on this planet. You don't. I'll distract them while you fly away."
"No way," said Paige. "You're coming with me." Paige opened the hatch of a rocket sled, but Nutkin hesitated. The gum alien surprised them both by speaking up.
You know, you guys have folded me, twisted me, climbed on me, whipped me around, and stretched me and flown me,
said the gum alien.
Forget the Olympics. I haven't had this much fun in years. But there's one more thing I can do that you don't know about.
Paige and Nutkin looked at each other. The gum alien, as wide as a house and as thin as a butterfly's wing, began to roll itself up, pull itself in, and contract, and it was smaller and then smaller and smaller until it was tiny. Actually, the size of a piece of bubblegum. The king and the guards were now just a few steps away from Paige and Nutkin. What's happening? Said Paige. What are you going to do?
This,
said the gum alien, and the king, the guards, everyone but Paige and Nutkin were covered in globs of pink goop. Half of them were lying on the ground covered in the stuff, as though trapped in a net. Others were trying to pry the alien goo off their faces so they could see. A trumpet alien tried to sound off, but a piece of gum alien had flown into its horn. Paige and Nutkin were essentially fine, with just a few tiny pieces on them. Oh no, said Paige. It didn't. I mean, it couldn't have blown itself up. No, how could it?
I'm fine,
said a little piece of gum alien stuck to Paige's helmet.
I'll piece myself together eventually. Just, you know, please don't take me up to your space station so I can rejoin the rest of me.
Paige and Nutkin wiped themselves off, and then Paige jumped into the rocket, Nutkin in her lap, and shut the hatch. Okay, she said to Nutkin, to the Marlowe we go. If you thought this was weird, wait until you meet the Proto-fessor. Okay, I am here with my editor and son, Griffin Messenger. Griffin, what did you think of that episode?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay, we've settled into a rhythm of pretty good now, I think, right?
Yeah.
So what's it gonna take to get back up above pretty good?
Oh, like episode where there's a big battle.
Oh, you want a big battle. Okay. All right, well, that's good to know. All right, so what questions or thoughts did you have about this episode?
I wonder if we should actually give the explorer should actually give back the amulet.
Whether the explorer should give the king the amulet again?
Yeah.
What do you think they should do?
I'd rather have them abandon on Saffron's magma stomach and a little love aliens start throwing fireballs at them.
Okay, so you want them to bring it to Saffron, have Saffron swallow it, and then have the lava creatures from inside Saffron throw fireballs at the amulet?
Yeah.
Because now Paige is safe, right? And they don't need to return the amulet to the king necessarily.
Yeah.
This is a good quandary, right? Because Finn, his whole quest is to rescue Paige, but it looks like Paige is going to get away.
Yep. And as the moon creatures start throwing moon rocks at them.
Well, we shall see in a future episode of...
Nope.
The Alien Avengers.
Nope.
Of...
Nope.
Finn.
Nope.
Caspian.
Nope.
All right. So any other questions or thoughts about this episode?
Yeah. I'm wondering what ever happened to Voltronix. We still haven't heard from him.
No, I am being derelict as your underling in this show. You have requested the Voltronix episode a couple times and it hasn't been produced yet.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to get to work on it right after this one publishes. Okay.
Okay. And I'll be in 66 days, probably.
66 days. No, hopefully fewer than 6 days. Okay. So is that it for questions?
Yep.
All right. And then let's get into our art. All right. First up, we have Ben, who is 5 from New Jersey, who drew this really cool drawing of all this art hanging on the wall. And Bebop, it looks like Bebop is trying to maybe get at that art. And it warns us, make sure you put the art upstairs so Bebop can't get his hands on it. So thanks so much for that, Ben.
And that is awesome.
And then we have a drawing from Danny, who is 6 from Telford, Pennsylvania. And Danny did a really cool drawing of Elias caught in the spider web in Saffron's stomach. Really cool. Thank you so much for that, Danny.
Awesome.
And then Nathan, who is 5 from North Carolina, did a really cool drawing of the Milky Way for us. Really colorful. Thanks so much for that.
Awesome.
And then Boone from Meridian, Idaho, drew us a couple of really cool drawings of robots. Thanks so much for those, Boone. And Ridley, who is 7 from Walnut Creek, California, he drew a Bebop wanted poster. It says, wanted Bebop for eating $100 million Picasso. Finally, someone has taken my side in my battle with Bebop. Thank you so much, Ridley, for that one. And then Celeste, who is 9 from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, and Drake, her brother, who is 7, they drew us a couple of cool things. They drew us a really cool picture of Saffrite, and Celeste drew a really cool drawing of the Bob creatures, and Elias getting caught by a spider. So thanks so much to Celeste and Drake. And then Claire, who is 6 from Auburn, California, drew a whole lot of really awesome stuff. She drew a really cool picture of Saffrite. She drew a really nice picture of Bebop yelling, "Art!" She drew a really cool picture of Bob Monster. And then maybe my favorite one, if I could pick a favorite, is her drawing of the Explorer Pod, which is really, really cool. So thanks so much to Claire for all that art. And then we got some drawings from Reed, who is 6, who drew another really awesome drawing of Elias being caught in the spider web. And then another one who I think is maybe a robot, but that one's really cool, Reed. Thank you for that. And then Nava, his sister, she's 9 years old, and she drew Bebop with his masterpiece. And it's a really cool drawing of Bebop. He's got a little hat on the side and a mustache. He looks really fancy. So Bebop will be excited about that because he likes to dress up for sure. So thanks so much to our artists, everybody who sent it in. If you want to see that art, of course, go to fincaspian.com and then follow us on Instagram. We're fincaspian on Instagram, and you can find a lot of the art there as well. Thanks. Okay, so what's next, Griff?
Jokes.
All right.
Joke time.
Okay. Okay, so for our first joke, it's actually one that was not recorded for us. It was emailed into us from Ben from New Jersey, and his joke is, who serves the food at the Star Wars restaurant?
I don't know.
Dark waiter. That's a pretty good one. Thank you so much to Ben for that one. And then we have a joke from Gabriel, who's 6 from Madison, Wisconsin.
My name is Gabriel, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. And here's my joke. What does a cat say when he's approaching the Milky Way? I wish I could eat it. Get it? Because he likes milk.
All right. Thank you, Gabriel. That's a great one. And now here's a joke from Adam from Chicago.
Hello, my name is Adam Curry, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. And here's my joke. Why did the smart alien need an umbrella? Because he had a brainstorm.
That is a good one. Thank you, Adam. Thank you to everybody for sending in their art and their jokes this week. Once again, no thanks for the pranks that you sent in. I don't know what Bebop has in mind for the rest of those pranks. All right, Griff. Well, you have taken me to task for a lack of Voltronics episode. We've talked about this past episode, and we've done the art and the jokes. Anything else you want to talk about today?
No.
All right, well, we're done recording. What are we reading now?
The Wild Robot.
That's right. We're closing in on the end of The Wild Robot. How are you liking it?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. All right. Well, thanks so much, Griff. You want to say bye to everybody?
Bye, bye, bye.
All right. Bye, buddy. Okay, thanks for coming back and having some more fun with us this week. And thanks to everyone who has sent in their art, their ideas, their jokes, their sounds, and even more pranks. Bebop is really loving those, even if I am not. So thanks for sending them, I guess. And shoutouts this week to Ben, Danny, Nathan, Boone, Ridley, Drake, Celeste, and Reed for the art, and Ben, Gabriel, and Adam for the jokes. The Alien Adventures of Fincaspian is a Type Drawer Media production, written and produced by Jonathan Messenger, edited and guided by Griffin Messenger, with special thanks to Maria Villanueva. The theme music you hear at the beginning and end of every show is by Mark Greenberg, recently voted the nicest human in the Milky Way. For more information about the music, the art, everything about this show, check out the show notes and see all the art mentioned this week at fincaspian.com or on our Instagram. And thanks, as always, for sending in everything you sent in, except for the pranks. No thanks for the pranks. Bye, everybody.
The thanks for the pranks.
Are you a fan of cryptids like Bigfoot? Do you like ancient monsters like the Kraken? Are you ready to face the scariest creature of all? The unicorn? Welcome to The Weirdness, an exciting journey into the weird and unexpected. Join Arlo and Sierra as they host a podcast called The Weirdness, dedicated to exploring the unexplained and weird phenomena, like the Loch Ness Monster, the Yeti, the Chupacabra, and more. Unfortunately, they've never actually witnessed any of this weirdness until they track down Bigfoot himself. Turns out, the weirdness is real. And it's everywhere. Now, Arlo, Sierra, and Bigfoot, whose nickname is Beef, set off on a mind-blowing road trip adventure across the globe to find out why the creatures of legends are disappearing and solve the mystery of the creep. Listen to every episode of The Weirdness now on Apple Podcasts or on gzmshows.com. Binge every episode and find every ridiculous creature of legend before they disappear. Hey, it's Jess. Did you know that GZM Shows has a YouTube channel? Right now, all of 6 Minutes, Becoming Mother Nature, GZM Beats, and Cupid and the Reaper are up. And they're in these, like, beautiful playlists. They have this fun audio waveform visual. And best of all, you can turn on captions. And the captions have character names. Anyway, subscribe to GZM Shows on YouTube. Maybe there'll be some cool things in the future, like live streams, interviews, behind the scenes. We'll see. GZM Shows on YouTube.